those things that the Lord does for us. Beautiful how he tears down and how he builds up. And we talked about how we're in an experience right now, a time of building up of the presence of God, the people of God, the purposes of God at Embassy Church. And so we're excited about that. And we focused on that last week, these first two statements. And then we're going to focus this week on this statement, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. That's there in the first part of verse 5 of this poem. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. How many of you really appreciated the beautiful little partnership of communion cup collectors that were going around to us this morning? Did you see them? Did all of you see them? Two little precious girls just walking around, you know, putting that basket in front of us to say, communion cup, please. And we were able to discard our communion cups and not wonder, do we hold this? Do we hold service? What do we do? And it was really beautiful. Well, the lead in that partnership came to me, Belle and John's precious, precious little baby girl, and she came up to me just before the service, and she saw this right here, and she said, what is that? And I said, it's like a brick, but I didn't know what to answer because I didn't have time, you know? So I just kind of said, well, we're talking about building, and we build with these, and we'll talk later, okay? And but maybe you were wondering the same thing. What is that? It's a paperweight. It's the table's imbalanced and it's keeping it. No, it's for a purpose, okay? This is here for a season, for a time, and we have to know what to do about this stone being here. This represents a stone that is used in building. Now we know that this stone, what is it called? Ramble stone, I think it was called? Ramble stone? Rumble stone? Yeah, rumble stone. I don't know why it's called that, but this was a cut stone used to create some type of structure. And so I want this to be an illustration to us today when we talk about scattering stones and we talk about gathering stones. Now maybe gathering stones might be a little bit more just understandable than the scattering stones. Why would you scatter stones? Well, in 2 Kings, and if you're taking notes, I'll try and refer to verses a couple of times if they're not up on the screen. And this one's one of them that are not up on the screen. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 25. 2 Kings 3, 19 and 25. There's a narrative here that talks about a warfare that was going on, and judgment was going on. And what was taking place is stones were being scattered across fields. There were fields that were meant for planting, meant for cultivation, meant for harvest. And one of the ways that this army attacked that army was by ruining the fields by scattering stones across them. It's interesting because the word scatter can also be cast away or throw away. And when you look at the throwing away or the casting away of stones throughout the rest of the Bible, you see an application that is very negative often, including hailstones that were used of the judgment of God that came down, the stoning of false prophets, the stoning of those who were unrepentant in their sin under the old covenant. Aren't you glad that that's the old covenant? And so all of these things are used in the sense of judgment. There's a negative connotation to that. But there's also a positive aspect to that negativity. Because when God judges, he cleanses what is not of him. He takes away what brings harm so that there can be health once again. And that's the positive aspect of God's judgment. God takes away the things that are not of him and then establishes what it is of him. And so you have that aspect of the judgment that is going on in that sense. But let's look at it in the most plain sense possible. If you're going to build something, you have to go and gather stones for it. But if you're going to plant something, then you have to remove the stones that are there. There's a thing about gathering stones, but there's also a thing about picking up stones that are in the wrong place and throwing them away from that place. So when you go to set up like a homestead, you're gonna build a house, you're gonna plant a garden, you're gonna plant some fields, whatever it is that's gonna lead to your sustenance, your ability to survive on that piece of property. You're gonna find that there are trees in places that are not helpful for your building. You'll also find stones that are not helpful, and you've gotta take those stones and you've gotta move those stones out of the way. In this sense, this has only a positive connotation. You're taking stones that are in the wrong place and moving them out of there to the right place. And in the same motion that you're shattering stones, you could also be gathering stones. Because the stones are not the problem, the placement is the problem. And so you might say, this stone serves no purpose here, but it serves a great purpose over here. So I'm gonna take this stone from one place where it ought not to be, and I'm gonna move it into a place where it ought to be. Whether I'm building a fence, whether I'm building a house, whatever it is that I'm building, I've gotta be involved in both the scattering and also the gathering. Do you see what I'm talking about so far? We're talking about the need sometimes to do demolition. If you go through the countryside of Pennsylvania, which we often do to go and visit my parents, you see houses that have served their purpose. You see barns that have served their purpose. And yet the foundation or some part of the structure of that house remains, and it's not serving any purpose whatsoever. It's an eyesore, as well as it's taking up space it ought not to take. At some point, somebody has to go and take the stones that were used before and to scatter them, to move them out of the way. And the reason why is because there's no house there anymore. There's no fence there anymore. There has to be a demolition project that is being done in order that you could come in and do a building project. Now the beautiful thing is, there's an expression in the scriptures about altars that are being built. And the beautiful thing about altars being built is it requires the gathering of stones, the collecting of those stones, so that the altar can be built. Why? So that God can be praised. So that testimony can be given. So that prayers could be offered up to Almighty God. Now the beautiful thing about building altars also sometimes requires some tearing down of altars. Some of you might remember the story of Gideon. Gideon was called of God to take down the altars to false gods. Now we don't have much in our culture of images that are made of the God, but we do have false gods that are more immaterial. Whatever that we begin to worship other than God as a false god, whatever we begin to be devoted to more than God is a false god. And that has to be torn down. And so Gideon went into a place where there were altars in Israel. Can you imagine? Among the people of God that were dedicated to the worship of false gods, to the Ashtoreths, to the Baals, to the gods of other nations. False gods. And when I say false gods, that means not real, okay? They can't save. And yet the nations are the ones who say that we're powerful because of these gods, and we get deceived by that, and we get lured over to these other gods. It happens to us. We get lured sometimes by money, lured sometimes by images on movie screens or things that we read, and we get lured away from the presence of God. And it's important for us to recognize that at that point, there needs to be a tearing down of those altars and a building up of the altar of God. Now, have I given enough background so that we can understand what this scripture is saying? Nod at me if you feel like you're getting it so far. All right? Because I want to talk about where we are as a church when we talk about the building up, the gathering of stones for the purpose of building up. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, it says, "You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." Feel free to say amen. "We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." You know what God is doing among us? And not just among us. You know there are new churches all around us? There are new ministries all around us? God is building up his people in Washington, D.C. God is establishing a place for himself, a holy place where people know God for who God is. Holy God, perfect God, loving God, mighty God, relational God, Father God. God is establishing, he's building up a temple for himself here in Washington, D.C., and he's doing that among us. And we recognize through this passage that we are members of God's family. Think about that. That we are his house. Selah. You know what Selah means? Stop and think about it. That's that word in the Psalms. Really catch a hold of this. We are God's house. He abides in us. He wants to find us as his abode. Find us as the place where he can be himself in our midst. And so we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, being carefully joined together in him. We're becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And look at this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. This is New Living Translation. It says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. That's what I love about this. Because we're not just church. Not in the sense of the colloquial or the cultural. You see, the colloquial and cultural understanding of church is somewhere where you go to fulfill your obligation to God, to do your civic duty, to go ahead and make sure that if God is real, that you can tell him, I went to church, so therefore I don't have to go to hell. You know, we have these different ways that we relate to church. But that's not what church is. Even the word church means the gathered together people of God, those who are called out from being outside of a relationship with God to be in a relationship with God and to be with each other. In other words, we're called into a place to be with our Father and our Father's family. Can you say amen? To be with our Father and to be with our Father's family. And we are living stones that God is building. This is the purpose for which he has gathered us together, to be built into his spiritual temple. Then it says, what's more, you are his holy priest. You see, what humans do is they separate people from God. They come up with the terms saints that are only referring to an elite group of people. Priests who only refer to a certain class of people. But what we find in New Testament Christianity, what we find revealed to us in the Word of God, is that God wants all his people to be known as saints, wants all his people to be known as priests unto God, wants all his people to be close to God. It doesn't mean that we all walk around with clerical collars and we speak differently with each other, bless you in the name of Jesus. You know, it doesn't mean those kind of things. We kind of conjure up that kind of stuff. But what it means is that you get real with God because God is getting real with you. And you're coming to know God and you're falling in love with God because to know God is to love him. Yeah. You're recognizing that God can be trusted, that God is dependable, faithful, loving, that God is true, that God is strong and mighty. And the more that you realize it, the more you just give a natural response of, wow. God, you're awesome. You know, every time you say wow about God, you're giving him praise. Did you know that? How many of you know that wow can be one of the greatest expressions of praise you can ever give? Whoa, wow, really? I can't believe this is awesome. We're giving praise to God when we're seeing who he is and responding appropriately to who God is. In that way, we're holy priests. Look at the left. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We're being built into a house that God looks at and says, man, I love going home. I love going. Don't you want God to say about you, I want to go home and be with that person. I just want to go and just kind of hang out in that person, with that person. That's what God intends for us. He wants there to be a place of welcome to him in our lives, but not just in our lives individually, but in places like this. We want God to feel so comfortable that he'll come in and just kick his feet back and just go, oh man, this is awesome. I love this place. I love these people. I love how they know me, how they respond to me. I love how they listen to me and walk with me. You know, that's God's intention. He didn't create us for religion that keeps us separate from him. He created us for a relationship that brings him close. And then religion comes out of that experience. Because there's a religion in the Bible that God accepts as pure before him. And that religion is the one that keeps yourself from being clean, or keeps yourself clean before God and not being messed up by this world, and loving widows and orphans, the poor, and caring for them in their distress. You see, God is first about relationship, and then out of relationship comes our behavior, and our behavior at that point is beautiful. Can you say amen? So God is doing this great work among us. You know, Jason Hershey, all summer long, I didn't speak on Sunday morning. Did anyone notice that? June, July, August. I had some other things that I was giving myself to do in ministry, but it also gave us an opportunity to hear from so many voices. And we're going to continue that. We're going to continue to hear from voices, not where I'm not ever speaking on a Sunday, but we're going to really be consistent hearing from the whole body of Christ. It's going to be a really beautiful experience. But one of the people that we heard from was Jason Hershey. How many of you guys just love Jason?
Yeah.
Just a major prophet of God in this city. And Jason talked to us from this passage of scripture in 1 Peter 2 about how we're living stones. And that God is taking us and placing us where we ought to be. Not just a dry old dead stone, but a living stone. But the analogy is that he's taking us and he's placing us where we should be so that we can be a part of his house. And it's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. And a great big table with lots and lots of food. And a great big yard where we can play football.
Amen.
How many of you never heard that song before? You never heard that song? Big, big house. How many of you have heard it? Raise your hand if you've heard it. Wow, lots of it. And so maybe you knew what I was talking about. And by the way, the football that we're talking about is ESIS football, okay? It's the one that the whole world plays, not just the American football. So when it says we got a great big yard where we can play football, it's talking about the real football, okay? And by the way, that's killing me to say it because I love American football, all right? But I'm loving it, okay? We're the whole world getting together. So we got, God is a big house, and it's a beautiful house. And when you look at it, you're amazed and saying, you know what? Look at those people there. They're all different races. They're all different nationalities. They're all different ages. They're young and old. They're people that sometimes don't hang out with each other. This age group, that age group. And they're all hanging out, loving each other. They're all doing something beautiful. They're serving. They're caring. They're making a difference in Washington, D.C. See, this is what God is doing. He's building up a house that is his. And everyone can look at that house and go, you know, only God could have built that house. And guess what? You get to be that house. You get to be a living stone that God is using to build that house in Washington, D.C. for his glory. And he does it through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And so Jason talked about being living stones. And then lo and behold, the next week when Sabrina was ready to minister, Sabrina was talking prophetically about the call of God over this church, even historically. And she brought out this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2 about how we are living stones in the house of God. There you are, Sabrina. Hi, everyone. Maybe it's Sabrina over there. And it was awesome. And then we had Chris Gallatin with here, and we were all with him together, and he was ministering. And in between two of his sessions, a pastor from Louisiana came over to me, and he says, I feel like I need to share something with you. He didn't know anything about our history. He doesn't know anything about what's going on among us currently. And he says, I want to share with you. He also doesn't know about all the new churches that God is raising up in D.C. He doesn't know. And by the way, I want to stop and say this. Today, this very day, this very moment, there's a new church that's having its first Sunday public service in Columbia Heights, Washington, D.C., called New Song Community Church. And over the last 10 years, we've been ministering in that community. We have amazing relationships in that community. And we're pouring all of those relationships into this new church called New Song Community Church. I'm just telling you that God is doing a new work in Washington, D.C. And we're excited about it. We're excited about God birthing churches, all of the things that are going on. We're excited about it. But this pastor didn't even know about that. And here's what he said to me. He said, I came into the city and I was walking around and I was seeing dead stones everywhere. There were dead stones that were placed together to make monuments, to make walls and memorials. The Vietnam War, whatever it is, he says, I saw dead stones everywhere. Dead stones that made big, huge, beautiful buildings. And he says, and I recognize that people come from all over the world to this city to see dead stones, to see stones that are dead, that have been created, that have been placed to be able to create monuments, memorials, and buildings for the government here, for the history here, all of those things. And he said, here's what the Holy Spirit says to me as I was walking around. He says, from now on in Washington, D.C., people are not so much going to be coming to see dead stones. They're going to be coming to see living stones that God is building up in this city. And he's using those living stones, you, me, all of us, that God is raising up together so that people can come, not to see the glory of man, but to see the glory of God. We have no problem with history of nations. We have no problem with the role that nations play. But we know that there is only one nation that will last forever, and that is the eternal kingdom of Jesus, of Almighty God. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. So we're way more excited about the building up of his house than the building up of the White House or the State House or any other house. We are more excited about the building of God's house in this city than anything else. In fact, when I was at Bethel a couple of years ago, and I sat there in the beautiful, powerful presence of God and the beautiful worship, I sat there and I said, Lord, you can ask anything from me for the rest of my life. You can ask anything from me for the rest of my life. You can ask for all of my devotion, all of my concentration, all of my prayers, all of my focus, if you would just give me one thing, a place in Washington, D.C. that has invited your presence, and where people walk in and say, I'm not just here with people, I'm here with God's people. And I'm not just here with religion, but I'm here with God himself. And if we have a place like that, and that's a place not to the glory of pastors and church leaders and other members that come and go, it's a place to the glory of God, which is forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God is awesome, amen? What a vision that we have. And so this Louisiana pastor said, Beverly, who you'll meet, Beverly's going to provide one of our life classes. And that life class is on inner healing. For those who have deep wounds that they have from the past, and watching God heal those deep wounds of the past. And you're going to meet Beverly. Beverly is offering some counseling to different people in our church. And it's a beautiful thing that God is doing through her. But Beverly shared with me just this last week about her home church. She says a prophecy was given her in her home church. And the prophecy said this. You came to this church because you were looking for a home church. God brought you to this church because you are the church. Oftentimes we go to a church because we're looking for a place to worship, a place to fellowship, a place to serve, all of that. We don't realize that there's a higher purpose even than that, that God brings us together not because we need a church, but because we are the church. We're a living stone in the house of God. We think that we were coming just to make sure we were okay spiritually. And then God takes us and says, not only are you okay spiritually, but I'm going to go ahead and place you, and you're going to be bringing the Spirit of God to the rest of the people all around you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Beautiful prophecy of the Lord. And so we're looking at gathering stones, and in our case, we're talking about gathering literal living stones. And we do that because when you gather living stones, you build the house of God, the presence of God, the place of God. And so we gather stones to build altars to the Lord, to build houses for God, etc. And we're talking spiritually and physically. At times that involves buildings, and we recognize that. But we also gather stones for what we talked about last week. Remember, we talked about a time to build and also a time to harvest. Do you know you can't harvest until you do two things? One, you can't harvest until you scatter stones from the place where you want to cultivate that planting. But then at the same time, you've got to have protection around that place from the little critters that try and get in and eat up everything that you've planted. And the enemy tries to do that. Sometimes you go ahead and plant something for God, and the enemy comes in and tries to mess with it. You've got to have a wall, just like Nehemiah had a wall. At times to harvest, you've got to clear stones. You've got to throw some stones away, scatter them. But you also have to gather stones to build that fence, so to speak, that wall around. And I know, by the way, it's not popular. We're talking about building walls, but we're talking about building walls for God in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? I had to have fun a little bit there. It's a crazy world out there. But we do this building because one of the most beautiful things that we can do is to build an altar for God.
Amen.
If you don't have the references, look at 1 Kings 18, 31 through 32. 1 Kings 18, 31 through 32. Joshua 22, 10 through 11. Joshua 22, 10 through 11. And see how they built up altars to the Lord. You know what altars do? Altars serve as memorials, testimonies. They say, God did something great in this place, and we're never going to forget it. You know what your altar can be? Your altar can be your spoken testimony. When God does something in your life, you can tell somebody else about it, and then you won't forget, and they won't forget. Your altar can be a journal. You can write down the date of what God did and look back later and remember it. You can write a book. Some of you never maybe thought of writing an article, some type of publication, whatever it is. All of these are altars. You can share your testimony in a small group setting or a church setting, whatever it is. All of these things are building altars. And so we gather stones to give altars to God, to give Him prayer, to give Him praise, to give our testimony. And then there's this beautiful other application of gathering stones and scattering stones. And here's the beautiful aspect of it. In chapter 2, verse 8, and in chapter 2, verse 26, the same word gather is used to express the accumulating of wealth. How many of you liked what I just said right here? Woo. If you're going to gather stones, you're going to talk about the accumulating of wealth. Do you know that I believe that we don't need wealth to feel loved by God, to feel important or anything like that? Jesus knew what it was to experience abject poverty, and it never changed how he felt about himself and the importance of Jesus in the whole world. It's not all about money. The world thinks sometimes it's all about money, but sometimes it is about money, and we can't be afraid of allowing God to gather for us a little income, amen, and just see what God does. And so here's the beautiful principle. When you gather together the purpose of God, you gather together also the plans that God has for that purpose. When you gather together the vision of God, you watch how God resources that vision. All I'm saying is this, is where God guides, God provides. And if you're doing what God is doing, you can expect that God will also gather some resources, financial resources, to be able to accomplish what God has done. How many of you believe that God is a provider? Can you say amen? God provides, so we can trust that the gathering process also can do that. But here's what I want to do in the main moments that remain. And I want to see what time. We got plenty of time, okay? A time to gather stones. If you want to ask me, what time is it in Embassy Church this fall? I would answer you by saying, it's time to gather stones. This is time for us to go and gather living stones for God. And you say, well, what exactly does that mean? Here's the first way you gather a living stone. You take somebody who is dead in their trespasses and sins, who doesn't have a real relationship with God, who doesn't know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead, and you share that good news with them. And then through your testimony, your altar, so to speak, that you have built, your experience with God, they want that same experience. I want to give you good news. We started a preschool a few months ago. It's called Embassy Row Child Development Center. I found out just this past week that the first person to come to Jesus because of Embassy Row Child Development Center just happened.
Woo!
Just happened. And it's one of the teachers. And he came to me and said, I want you to know I decided to become a Christian. I've invited God, Jesus, to come into my life. And I want you to know that the moment that I decided that was in those one weekly early morning prayers when I was together with you and Jess and Vera and Yassine and others who were gathering together in prayer. And he says, and when I saw what God was doing in your life and in my life through those prayers, I decided I really needed God. And I realized it's in Jesus, and he came to know Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
His name is Steve Rubenstein. I want to bring more Steve Rubensteins to be living stones for the house of God. I want to introduce more. Don't you want to introduce more people to Father? Don't you want more people to know Father God? To know that God loves us this much? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to gather living stones to be with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're also going to gather them to be with God's family. And frankly, I don't care if somebody I bring to the Lord goes to this church or another church, as long as they're in a family. But I will say this, if there's any possibility that this can be their church family, me personally, I prefer that they be right here with us. Is that okay with you? I'm not trying to take everybody away from every other church. I would never. In fact, I don't ever invite people from other churches to come to this church. I just never do it. If they're in a good church, I want them to be blessed there. But if they don't have a home church, I'm like, hey, they're new in the area, wherever they're looking, maybe God is changing them to a new church. I'm like, come on in. So we're going to be gathering people not just to be with God, but to be with the family of God, and in our case, particularly Embassy Church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we're going to gather living stones. We're going to gather them to God. We're going to gather them to God's house. All of this is about being in relationship with the Father and with the Father's family. We're also, I'm going to gather some of you guys. Did you know that? I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. And I'm going to say, hey, did you know about our prayer ministry? Did you know about our prayer room? Did you know that we are going to cover this place in prayer? Did you know that we have prayer ministry leaders, Pastor Jessica, Pastor Venetius? Do you know we have a prophetic prayer team? Do you know we have intercessors? Do you know we have people that are meeting together? And I'm going to come to you and say, hey, you want to be a part of the prayer ministry at Embassy Church? And you might say to me, how do you know how to pray? And I'm like, this is a perfect place for you to be. They'll help you to learn how to pray. And here's the beautiful thing. The more we pray, the more we see God build his house. Amen? The more we pray, the more we see harvest. Can you say amen? So we're coming for you. Get ready. We're going to talk to you about prayer, gathering you together as a powerful force of prayer. We're also going to talk to you about life classes. You know, we have some life classes that are ready to get started. Now, Jessica, I guess you're, or Jess. That's Jessica, right? Jess? Do you have life class information either up there or in your head that you could show us very quickly?
Yeah. Well, in a minute.
Hey, come on over.
All right, great. I'll just use this. Yeah.
You got that? Yeah. Oh, I want to do it now. Is that okay? Yeah. Because I probably spun around. Yeah, look at that. What she said.
Hi again, everyone. Great. Well, I was working to have a slide for you, but this is even better because we get to interact. Aren't we excited? I'm excited. Great. Well, thanks, Pastor Dave, PD. Well, we have four life classes that we are starting the semester. First is prophetic healing, and that's going to be taking place Fridays at 7:30 p.m. That's actually starting this Friday, so get ready, please. And then we're going to be doing an inner healing life class, and that's my Pastor Beverly that Pastor Dave was just talking about. That's actually going to start in October, so you have some time to move your schedules around. It'll be Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. That's going to be in our map room. You don't know where any of these rooms are, it's okay, it's where you're waiting. We're also doing Deeper Life this semester, and we're very excited. This is a foundation course. Faith also serve as a membership class for Embassy Church, so we're just excited. We're all going through it. So that's actually going to be Sundays at 3 p.m. In the cafe upstairs, so we'll have a chance to be together for our church family celebration services on Sunday morning, and then come to lunch, do your thing, come back, hang out in the cafe, learn and pray, talk to God. It's going to be great. And then our last one, very, very practical, and I'm really in need of this. This is called Financial Peace University. Yes, it is very exciting. This is great because it's for people of all ages and all stages of life to really learn about what the Bible says about how to steward our finances well and plan for the future, and really hear from God about how to do that. So that's going to take place on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. In the cafe. upstairs, and it also starts September 22nd. So just get ready, get those wallets ready. And as session continues, we'll put the slide up behind so you can take a picture of it and see more information on class names, dates, and times, locations.
Thank you, Jeff. So light classes, and then God Encounter Weekends is another thing that we're going to be gathering people together for. But we have very intentionally postponed the next God Encounter Weekends so that we can focus on what we need to establish before we do our next God Encounter Weekends, and that is our small group ministry. And because we are the family of God, this is a home for God among the nations and the nation's capital, we are calling our small group ministry family groups. So our focus is to be a family, be brothers, sisters, but also daughters and sons of the Father, and even fathers and mothers spiritually to bring others into relationship with God. So we're excited about this gathering. I'm excited about gathering the people we've been in relationship with for 10 years at Columbia Heights with that new church. But I'm also even more excited about, because this is our main focus, is gathering people right here in the house to be involved in life classes, to be involved in family groups. And all the family groups are literally this. It's an opportunity for people to not just see each other on a Sunday, but to see each other during the week in homes, to fellowship with each other, to share with each other. And in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to express your interest in being in a family group. And we're going to be following up with you all fall to get everyone connected with a life class, to family groups, all of those things. But also, we want to talk about ministries. And in ministries, I just want to start with Sunday. We have ministries that happen throughout the week, but I want to start because we're all here together on Sunday. And so you might say, hey, I know that Sunday is called Sunday service. Well, a part of that is we go to a worship service, but a part of that also means we have an opportunity to serve. So if you're saying, look, I recognize that this is the house that God has brought me to, we want to give you an opportunity for you to be involved on a Sunday. Is that up there? Yeah. So here they are. How can you plug in children's ministry, both super church and nursery, hospitality ministry, as greeters, with food stuff, with communion, setting up the building, breaking down the building afterwards, caring for people, connecting with people, all of that for hospitality ministry, prayer ministry. I mentioned being a part of our prayer team to pray for others, being a part of intercessors to pray over the services, the church worship ministry, tech ministry, being with computers and sound, youth ministry, all these things taking place on Sunday give all of us an opportunity to plug in. So here's what I want to give you those opportunities, but why am I only seeing? Here we are. So we're talking about a time to gather for God, for God's house, for prayer, for ministries, for life classes, that's LC, for God Encounters, for family groups, that's FG. We talked about the Unity Walk, Embassy Rochelle Development Center. All these are opportunities that we can serve others. We're going to be gathering people to that event in October on the Mall, Awaken the Dawn, the Museum of the Bible in November. All of these things, and here again are the opportunities for us to serve on Sundays. But here's the thing that I want to say to all of us. Where is your witness? Where are you in relation to family groups? That we're going to be focused on more than, or really, this is going to be our main focus for this fall. Where are you in relation to ministry teams? And again, we're starting with Sunday. For family groups, you can ask yourself, am I in one? Would I like to be leading one? Would I like to lead one now? Would I wish you'd like to lead one later? Would I like to assistantly? How about ministry teams? Am I in one? Which one am I in? Would I like to be a team leader? All of those things are opportunities for you to plug in as a living stone in the house of God. It's an exciting thing. Where's Sabrina? Is she still here? Or did she, I think she maybe stepped out from, there you are, Sabrina. Is it musical chairs? weren't you over there, or was that your twin? Come on over here, Sabrina. How many of you guys just appreciate Sabrina, those of you who know her, just amazing. Sabrina, for the last several years, has been leading a house of prayer for young people. started with 35 young people and grew to 7 young people. It's an amazing house of prayer and worship. And the Lord has just put on our heart to transition. And God has raised up leaders, other leaders. In fact, we were praying for them yesterday, right? And that was their first time really knowing a lot of those leaders, I understand, right? That's why we were praying for them. And the Lord has put on our heart, and it's just perfect timing. There is a time, can you say amen? There's a season. God has an appointed time. And I said to Sabrina yesterday, you know, if you had been done and wanted to transition into ministry here a year ago, it would have been too early. And if you did it a year from now, it would be too late. But here's the beautiful thing. We're ready to go with our family groups. This is our new family group ministries coordinator right here. And so we're very excited about that. Yeah, come on. Give us some love and appreciation for Sabrina. And so she has been given this stuff from God. And she has just a sense, and we've all been working together. And Carol and I and the other leaders, we feel like we've been working with her for years. It's like so, like all the things, yes, agreement. Yeah, let's do. And so I just want to praise God, because here's the point of Sabrina standing here. Until you're standing here, wherever God has for you, wherever your living stone is supposed to be, I want to say this. There's no harvest without the scattering and without the gathering of stones. And there's no building without the tearing down when necessary, but without the gathering of stones. I want you to know this. God's appointed time for Embassy Church is now. Now. And I don't have time to make a case for that. I tried to make a case for it last week. I shared about the 2015 prophecy of somebody that didn't know our church at all. They described our church in detail, even with dates. And they said, your time is coming, and we believe that time is now. They had that beautiful analogy of the almond branch. And a few days ago, when we were planning for yesterday's some gathering leaders of God encounters together, and we were preparing for this service of all of you as leaders in Embassy Church, somebody just had this scripture to read out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. And it talked about that God watches over the words that he gives, over the promises that he makes, and the sign of that is an almond branch. And if you remember, that was the exact way of the prophetic word in 2015 that went all the way back to 2009 and all the way back to 1907. And it was an amazing thing that the Lord spoke to us. And I want you to know this, God's time is now. The question is it your time? Because the appointed time of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8 does not exactly clarify who is appointing the time. And I believe it's for a purpose. Ultimately, God appoints the time, but humans have to cooperate and partner in what God is doing for God's purposes to be fulfilled. It doesn't mean that if you don't fulfill God's plan for your life, that God's plan is not going to be fulfilled in this world. God will find another way and another time to do it. But I want to let you know this. When God was leading the people out of captivity, out of bondage in another nation, that journey from there to the promised land should have only taken a matter of weeks, but it took 40 years. And the reason why is because when God said it's time, the people didn't say an amen. But when God finally got a hold of his people and they said amen, he brought them into the promised land. And he said to them, it's the appointed time. And he said, and now what we're going to do is we're going to build the house of God in this place. He said, we're going to build a tabernacle. We're going to make the tabernacle a temple. And when it was ready to go from a tent into a permanent structure, the people of God said, amen! And when they said amen to the timing of God, the house was built. And when the house got torn down by the enemy, God raised up another generation of Ezra's and Nehemiah's and all of their family groups. And they came in to build a new temple of God and build up the walls of God to gather the stones. And when one came, they said, we're going to build the altar of God. And then the other came and says, we're going to build up the temple of God. And they rebuilt it because God said it's time and the people said it's time. And then Nehemiah came and said, you know what? We've got a temple. We have an altar. We have a temple. But we says, people of God, I know for decades now, you've lived without walls and you're susceptible to enemies, but we're going to build up the walls. We're going to gather the stones and build up the walls. And when he said, it's the time, the people rose up and said, amen. And in just over 50 days, what took years to not be built was built in just over 50 days in that time. So I want to say this to you. I believe with all my heart, and I'm saying it prophetically, and it's not me prophesying, it's me hearing what God has prophesied all through these different ways, that this is his time, and now God is looking to his people to say an amen, an amen. This is God's time, this is my time. We're going to do what God has called us to do. We're not going to wait till next year, we're not going to wait till next month. We're going to do what God has called us to do today, this week, for the glory of God. And I'm waiting right now to give you an opportunity. I know a lot of you are ready to say it. I'm waiting to give you an opportunity to say, amen, it's God's time and it's my time. It's the appointed time of God, and I'm appointing this time as my time in the name of Jesus. Can I hear you?
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Here's the beautiful thing. We have 100 stones. That means every one of you can pick up a stone. And you can say, it's my time. I'm taking my stone. I'm going to find a place to be built in this place. I'm going to pick from among those ministries. I'm going to sign up for family groups. I'm going to be ready for the next God and God weekend. I'm going to see what God is doing. I'm going to be a part of the prayer team, a part of the intercessors, whatever God has. We know that God used children, whatever it is. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come. And I'm going to let you to come on both sides here and to take your stone and to find some way to bring it up here in the front and place it. And you know what might be cool? If you say, hey, let's get creative and let's build a little something for God as a symbol. Maybe some of you will get together like 4 or 5 of you and say, hey, let's build our own little altar for God. Maybe all of you will get together and say, let's make one big superstructure for God up there on the altar. I don't know where I don't even care. That's up to you guys, all right? But here's the thing. I believe that this will be a symbol. When you take this stone and you put it up here in the front, you're saying, God, I know you're placing me to build your house. I'm just saying that I'm saying amen to that by laying this stone. Now, some of you might say, well, you're putting pressure on me to be a part of Embassy Church. Here's the great news. If God's called you to be a part of another ministry, you come and grab a stone too. And you say, I'm building my stone and name the church, Restoration Church, All Nations Church, Grace Capital City. And we don't care because we want God's house to be built all over the city. We don't care. We want those places to grow. Amen? We want all of us to grow for the glory of God. And so you can go ahead and place it. Some of you can take your stone and say, I'm placing it in David's tent. I'm placing it in YWAM. I'm placing it in Chi Alpha. Whatever the ministry is that God has called you to do, you can feel free to do it. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to have four computers out there in the lobby. And as soon as you place your stone, you can go out there at the hospitality center and you can go ahead and say, you know what I think I'm interested in? I think I'm interested in this ministry or that ministry or being in a family group. And these two areas we can respond to say, this is where my stone is. And then before the week is over, and I'm going to be honest with you, we haven't been sometimes good about our follow-up because we've had distractions of all the building stuff and all of those things that have been going on. But I'm going to make a covenant with you right now. You put your name down this week, you will be called before this week is over. In Jesus' name, okay? Are you hearing me? You will be called if you're. And so here's what's important. You got to put your number there. You got to make sure it's clear because I'm speaking like a commitment here on my part and our part. And I don't want to call you up and go, you know, or see you next week and go, you know why we didn't call you? We didn't have your number. So make sure you give all that. Are you ready to go ahead and say, this is where my stone is in Jesus' name? All right. God bless you. Let's stand together. Feel free to come and grab a stone, place it up at the front. And then in the back will be 4 computers, and you can go right back there and just go ahead and do what God's called you to do. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your time. We thank you for our time. We thank you, Lord, for the family groups, God. We thank you for the small groups that are going to be forming, Father. We thank you for the life classes. We thank you, Father God, for the way to be cured.